Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
When did it become such a big thing to unfollow people on social media? Like, it's making a statement. So Sydney Sweeney is filming this romantic comedy. She's an actress with Glenn Powell. And Glenn's girlfriend is not here from it. So there's like rumors that there's something going on the set. So she unfollowed Sydney Sweeney. And then this was also big news last week because Joe Alwyn and Taylor Swift broke up. And she went out to dinner, Taylor Swift, with Ryan Reynolds and a bunch of their friends. And they all unfollowed Joe Alwyn immediately after the dinner.
Oh, it's like high school.
Right. That's exactly what I'm thinking about.
Well, that's squad, man. I mean, you go out with your friends and you go say you don't even have to say it's me or them. They sit down and they go, well, what happened? You seem so happy. You give off a laundry list of things, and then they go, okay, let me take care of this right now before dessert gets here.
Yeah. Raven, producer John, producer Sean, I was thinking about it. It's like, when was the last time you unfollowed somebody, and why? What was the reason for it? Sean, you're first.
It was my buddy Ben's wife. Sorry,
why?
Ash. Because she posted, she's just one of those people who's on Facebook way too often, posts like, you know, 9-10 times a day, and it was all political. Always. So it was like nothing but my news feed filled with, you know, her posting a political status, people arguing in it. And I was like, I just can't do this anymore. I don't go on Facebook to hear people argue or see them like, you know, post like politics. I go to Facebook to get away from politics.
Yeah, I get that.
Yeah.
I understand that. That seems acceptable. John, how about you?
I follow people who get just entirely too dramatic with their posts. This could be like Facebook. This could be Instagram. If you're up there posting about like your drama in your life every single day, day in, day out, like this terrible thing is happening. This terrible thing is happening to me. Now, listen, if a terrible thing really happens to a friend of mine, yes, I'm going to reach out. But it gets to a certain point where it's like, okay, hold on. How much of this are you inviting on yourself?
I don't like the clickbait drama on social media.
That's what I'm saying. It's clickbaity, exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, if you have drama in your life and it's truly something traumatic is going on with you, why is your first instinct to run to social media and post it there?
Exactly.
Right?
Like,
right.
Call somebody, text somebody, reach out.
Yeah. Raven, how about you? You're never even on social media. When's the last time you unfollowed somebody?
Well, I mean, I don't like the drama and I don't like the politics, which is a large part of the reason of why I'm not on there. But every once in a while, I do get dragged back into it because there's something that I have to check or something that a friend tells me that I have to check it out. And the last time I was on there, I was really shocked to find out that I was still following like Antonio Brown and Kanye West and a bunch of other people doing a bunch of dumb nonsense.
That's a bad look, buddy. You got to clean that up.
Yeah. Right. You know, I have problems with people that all their posts are just like, I'm famous, I'm rich, look at my stuff. Especially when I'm looking at the guy and I'm thinking to myself, did you really pay for that? Or maybe it's envy. They got so much and they're not good people.
What I realized though is a lot of these celebrities don't even post to their own account. It's not even them. They have people that do it for them. So then it seems really fake when you see it. Like they didn't even post it. Like it's somebody else that's hired that, you know, is their social content manager. I went through a period where I followed a lot of those parenting experts. I would get so annoyed by the dumb things that they would post that they would suggest to do. And I'd be like, what kind of expert is this? This is the biggest nonsense I ever heard in my life. So every time somebody was like, when your kid doesn't eat, try these things. And I'm like, if one more person says add dips to their spread.
Make it fun, Anna.
No, yeah,
add
make
dips.
It fun. Yeah, no.
Don't you have little ramekins?
They'll eat. Yeah, really? Unfollow. Unfollow.
Anna and Raven's Pick 'em News.
Three news stories, but you only hear about one. Raven gets to pick which one it is. Raven, you ready for your selection today?
Lay it on me.
Number one, 13-year-old boy banned from amusement park after getting stuck in claw game. Number two, Alaskan moose raids movie theater trash for popcorn and Happy Meal.
I mean, I seen it. You can't keep a moose out.
And number three, baby moose. Number three, bus driver who slammed on brakes to teach kids a lesson faces charges.
Oh, man. You know, back in the 80s and 90s, every bus driver did that. So I'm going to go with the claw machine. Okay. I mean, I got ripped off by a claw machine just this past week myself.
Everybody gets ripped off by a claw machine. They're a sucker bet.
Yeah, it totally is. Like, even if the thing is right on top and you're like, I can totally get that. When it picks it up in the air, it weighs too much. There's no pressure on that claw.
Right. So here's what happened.
A 13-year-old boy got himself stuck inside a claw machine while trying to steal a toy. It happened at Carowinds Theme Park in Charlotte, North Carolina, over the weekend.
All right, so now I know what you're thinking. Like, how did he possibly get stuck in there?
You know what? Is it stealing if he put $5 in there before it and went time and time again and again and fell out of the claw's hand?
How did he get in there?
Nah.
According to a park representative, the teen climbed inside the Cosmic XL bonus game located in the Thrill Zone and could not get out. He was stuck for about 17 minutes, at which point he was extricated unharmed.
When you, it's one, you know, like the really big claw games, like the ones that you see at the real amusement parks where like they're like life size inside.
Sure.
It was one of those. And it's, you look at the video, he's just sitting there like crisscross applesauce.
Yeah.
Just looking kind of sad, but not really that concerned.
I mean, he should have been in there doing a dance party thing or something. Think about that video. It would have been great.
So what happens now?
Yeah.
The park representative says he has been banned from the park for 1 year, not specifically for getting stuck, but rather due to attempted theft.
Man.
He really wanted that Super Mario Brothers stuffed animal.
$3 doll that's in there right now. Let the kid back.
I don't know. Where'd you ever get stuck? Producer Sean, I know you said this, that you had a place. What happened?
Mm-hmm. So years back, me and a few friends went to New York City, and my buddy's truck died. And I'm talking in the middle of Times Square.
Mm.
We caused so much traffic backup. It's like the most embarrassing place to be stuck.
Yeah.
No one's letting you through when you're trying to push the truck out of the way.
Yeah.
We were there for hours.
Now imagine if you were in a claw game in the middle of Times Square.
There's a lot of places that, you know, if you get stuck with a vehicle, they're like, oh, just push it to a side.
Yeah.
We'll help you. I mean, there's nowhere to push anything to the side anywhere in the city whatsoever. They expect that vehicle to go, you know, miraculously out of there right there.
The naked cowboy didn't come help. He didn't come push you off to the side.
I wish he did.
Yeah. I don't know.
That would have made for an interesting story.
The most deranged looking Minnie Mouse you've ever seen didn't come over to help you pull over.
Spider-Man wasn't there. Nobody.
Nobody was there
Batman
to help you out.
Nobody.
My buddy Big Rich, 6'5". One time we thought it was a great idea after a party for him to ride around in the neighbor's little tykes car.
Mm-hmm.
We had to take that thing apart to get him out at some point. Rough time.
Yeah, sometimes you just get stuck.
That's all I need to know about you.
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 It's like group therapy around here. Your chance just to vent, get things off your chest. You just have to fill in the blank. If you blank, that's all I need to know about you. 1-800-330-9999. Mike, that's all I need to know about you.
If you're the guy that's at the bar when a fight breaks out and the first thing you do is pull out your phone, that is all I need to know about you. You grew up watching World Star. You grew up watching TMZ. And that's all you want to do. You just want to build content. You don't want to resolve nothing. You're just an agent of chaos. And I don't need that in my life.
Oh, so you want the hero. It sounds like that's what you want, is you want the person who's like, now come on, guys. Can't we just talk this out?
You don't have to be a hero. Like, sometimes you can just get out of the way. You know? But when you're pulling out your phone, you're clearly trying to get content and trying to profit off of just chaos that's happening in front of you.
I mean, if it's a big enough fight, it's the perfect time to ditch on your bill.
Okay.
I was afraid. I was afraid for my safety, and I left. But you had 3 orders of wings and 7 beers with your friends. Well, sorry.
Tyler, that's all I need to know about you.
So if you believe every single thing that you read on the internet is true, that is all I need to know about you. So I have this friend, and he like scrolls through Twitter, and he believes every single thing that everyone posts. And I don't understand how someone could be so gullible. He's not a smart person, I feel like.
Twitter, I feel like, is the craziest of all the places to look, right?
Mm-hmm.
And to say whether or not this is believable or not. On the other hand, they've broken some huge stories out there in the world. So that's the thing that kind of sucks you in, right?
But there's a difference between, like, when you fall for the super fake stuff that you're like, come on, why would you believe that? And then things have some element of truth to them.
Yeah.
I have one friend. He is so smart, and I cannot understand. He'll send me a video, and I'll be like, come on, look at this video. It is clearly altered. There is not a man scaling the side of a skyscraper. That is not a real video. And the fact that you believe that scares me.
Are you sure?
No, I'm positive. I'm positive.
I'm going to need to see that video.
Okay.
Because there's a lot of wackies out there.
Mina, that's all I need to know about you.
Hey, okay, so if you say you're eating healthy, but then I see you pour a half a bottle of salad dressing over your salad, that's all I need to know about you.
I do like a lot of dressing. And right. A lot of times, like, the healthier the salad, the more you tell yourself that you can go with the ranch or whatever, right? Just because you're having Italian dressing doesn't mean that you're actually being nutritious.
The saddest day was when I went to Cheesecake Factory one time and they started putting calories on the menu.
Oh.
Now, all these years, I've been ordering the barbecue chopped salad thinking I was some kind of hero.
Oh, no.
You know?
Like 1,500 calories.
I mean, I should have known because it had fried onion rings on it, you know? But
did I say 1,500? I meant 1,800.
When I saw the calorie count next to that salad name, I was horrified. Mm. And I was like, all these years, I could have been eating fried chicken. And instead, I'm ordering this salad to be some kind of saint so I could have the cheesecake at the end.
Oh, man.
Turns out I was doing it wrong all that time.
I love a good Cobb salad with ranch dressing.
Mm.
It's like you just went to McDonald's and ordered two value meals.
Yep. What is your protocol for when you're at a restaurant and you order something that isn't right? Do you always send it back? Do you never send it back? Do you just force yourself to eat it? Do you just smile at the waiter and say everything's all right?
Mm.
Etiquette experts have been talking about this, and they said that there's three reasons why you should send it back.
When they bring the food to you, it looks fabulous. You take your first bite, and it's full of too many seasonings. If you can't stomach it, you know it's wrong. You certainly would the chef mind trying again.
I don't know if I would use the term, would the chef mind trying again? That seems condescending.
I mean, right. Yeah. Would the chef mind trying? Yeah. I think I'd probably just be like, this isn't right for me, but okay.
Yeah. Do you send things back?
Well, I mean, so that's the thing is that what's the definition of not right, right? If something is not cooked or it's overcooked or if it looks sloppy, that's one thing. But I mean, I typically don't. The reason I'm so cringy on this, though, is because my wife is super particular when we go to restaurants.
Right. So this etiquette expert says over-seasoned is a reason to send back. And Raven, you had said overcooked and undercooked. And it goes into the next part.
Is when it's grossly undercooked or terribly overdone. Now, you notice I'm using some exaggerative words because if it's a little bit off and you're at a business meeting or you're even with friends, you have to realize that any time you send something back, it stops the flow of everyone else's meal.
Mm-hmm. It's so much true. And it makes it awkward. It's immediately awkward for people when you send something back because everyone seems apologetic. Nobody wants to make eye contact.
Right.
I don't know why it's so awkward.
It is weird. But it's like also when it is a business thing, though, like we've all got places to go after this thing. Right. So now you're slowing it down. Do I wait for you to get your plate back? Do I proceed with mine? OK, now you put me in a spot.
So grossly overcooked, undercooked, overseasoned, and
if they bring something to the table, no matter how good it looks, and they put it down in front of you, it's a completely different meal. Send it back immediately.
Well, right. It's not what you ordered. So it's like somebody else's meal. They accidentally brought it to you. Like, you can't start eating it and be like, I changed my mind. This swordfish looks delicious.
Some people do the too cold thing, too. Like, I'm typically the person that's like, if it's warm, I'm going to eat it, you know? Because, again, I don't want to slow everybody else down. But am I the fool? I don't know.
I never send anything back.
Yeah.
Actually, I shouldn't say that. The only time recently in the last couple of years that I've had to send things back is because Dakota, my little one, has like massive nut allergies.
Yeah.
So if we order something without nuts and then nuts shows up at the table, we can't because none of us can have it.
Right.
Right. So I'm like, unless you want me to whip out this EpiPen and make a scene in the middle of this restaurant, I got to send this back. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
But with the exception of that, no. Like, I don't ever send something back, even if I don't like it.
And listen, to be fair, when I go out with my wife, again, she's particular, all right? But she's very, very specific. And when she orders, it's not really all that big of a challenge. It's just for whatever reason, the universe hates me or whatever. There's a high percentage of times that they just ignore it or screw it up. And then it always has to go back.
What's your protocol when it comes to going to a restaurant? You get a meal you don't like. Do you send it back? Do you never send it back? This etiquette expert says that you should only send it back if it's overly seasoned, way too much where you can't eat it, whether it's overcooked or undercooked, that's acceptable. And if it's the completely wrong dish, it shows up and you ordered a burger and for some reason they gave you fried chicken sandwich. Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
She also goes on to say this.
if you get a hair in your food, and we have all had this happen, this is the one thing you don't want to do. You don't want to pull it out of your mouth and hold it up mm-hmm. and show everyone.
Right.
Because you have now ruined everyone else's food at the table, their appetite.
Okay, thank you very much.
Yeah, I don't think I would ever do that. Have you ever heard somebody argue with you about the hair? I went to a restaurant one time, and I remember that my wife pulled out a hair from it. It clearly had pasta sauce on it. It was under the pasta. It was still halfway under there. And they were like, that's yours.
Yeah.
I was like, what?
But why argue?
Why argue?
You know, like,
right.
Coming from a restaurant business myself, like, I don't understand why. You're never going to win with the customer. So
right?
Why argue with them? Just take it back. 1-800-330-9999.
Desiree, so what's your policy on sending food back?
So my sister actually worked at fine dining where she made an immense amount of tips. And it wasn't so much the chef, but I think the waitress takes it out on your plate. And she would say how she would put her spoon on the bottom of she would put the people's spoon on the bottom of her shoe. And she would be spiteful and get back. So I never send food back, ever.
See, that's like the nightmare thing that people always worry about.
Put the spoon on the bottom of her shoe.
It's real.
Like, where do you come up with that?
I don't know if you saw the movie Waiting, but they did that in that movie, too. Waiting. So I think it's a real thing.
Oh, God. Your sister's a terrible person.
My father would lose his mind if he found out that one of the staff at his restaurant was doing something like that.
Imagine that, you know, that the spoon is just, you're using it as almost like, what is it they call it, like a shoehorn, right? Oh, God.
Oh.
Yeah. One time I ordered a Philly cheesesteak and I was pregnant with my son and it was taking a while and they had the little swing door on the, you know, like a bar, you know, type of deal.
Sure.
And it had the little window and I saw the guy making my Philly cheesesteak and he ate some of it.
Well, he was
hungry. And I swung the door open and I left. I yelled at him and I left. Yeah, I was like, I can't believe it.
You really needed that Philly cheesesteak. I get it.
Yeah.
Deanna, when do you send food back or do you never do it?
I do. If it's like not cooked right, if it's not, you know, if it's pink inside or if it just doesn't taste right. Like I was expecting something completely different and it's just not good. It rarely happens, the not good thing, but, you know, just got to just let them know.
So do you cut the meat right away? Like, do you cut into something as soon as it hits your table just to make sure that it's good?
Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, that's a rule, right? There's nothing wrong with that rule. Check your meat. I mean, especially if it happens once or twice, it makes sense. I'm never the person who sends something back because it doesn't taste good. Like, I'm never that person that's like, this isn't what I expected, and then I send it back. But I mean, if you can, why not, I guess, right?
What is your protocol to send food back when you're at a restaurant? Do you always do it? Do you never do it? Etiquette experts say that you should only send it back if it's grossly overseasoned, overcooked or undercooked, but by a lot, or if it's completely the wrong dish, not what you ordered. Another health expert said only if it's a health risk. So, like, you actually physically will get sick if you eat it.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, right? If you don't trust something, you get all in your head about something, that can give you an upset stomach by itself, too. I feel like this is a real sliding line here, right? It moves all around.
Yeah, what do you think? 1-800-330-9999. Robert.
I'm a restaurant owner. I called in last week about the gratuity. I definitely have an opinion about this. There are people who work in restaurants and, you know, and hopefully they don't work for me, who will have an attitude towards somebody who sends something back, whether they're right or wrong. But there are chain restaurants where people know that if you send something back or complain, you're going to get comped, even though they've eaten half of it or most of it. I'm totally on board with Anna and her father. You know, you just want those people to leave happy. Whatever it takes, it takes.
Robert, have you ever thrown somebody out of your restaurant because they complained too much?
Yes.
Yeah. My dad has too, and it's always interesting to watch. I mean, you know, it's nerve-wracking.
Yeah.
But what was the reason why?
He was relentlessly complaining about everything.
Right, a serial complaint.
It wasn't like one issue. It was everything. You know, the service, the timing, he had to wait for his table. You know, we gave him his check. We didn't throw him out, but we gave him his check and, you know, asked him to, you know, pay it and get the heck out of the restaurant.
Yeah.
Carol, what do you think? What's your protocol when it comes to sending food back at a restaurant?
Well, many years ago, when I first met my husband, he came back from Vietnam, and he brought me out to lunch at a Chinese restaurant, and I found a baby roach in my food.
Oh.
And I wouldn't even eat there anymore. My then boyfriend didn't think it was a big deal, because he just got back from Vietnam. They ate bugs and everything there.
Right. So he would have kept it.
I just
eaten the baby roach.
Him.
popped it right in his mouth like a Tic Tac.
High protein.
Donna, what's your protocol when it comes to sending food back at a restaurant?
Oh, I ordered a pizza one time and it had plastic in it. And I told the owner and he told me, just eat it. It's fine.
Just a little bit of plastic.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, half that Parmesan that you're going to sprinkle on there anyways. They say it's sawdust.
That's not true. That is not real.
Have a great day.
Craig, you send food back?
I don't send food back, but my dad does. And he scares the crap out of me every time he does it because I fear for what's going to happen to the food.
Yeah.
Went out to a steakhouse, and he got his steak. It was well done. It was exactly how he wanted it. But the bone on the steak was, I kid you not, maybe like 2 or 3 centimeters away from the steak. And he like stared at it for 5 minutes. Didn't touch the steak, had it sent back. There was nothing wrong with the steak. It came back, but I'm pretty sure it got spat on.
What was wrong with the bone being 2 to 3 centimeters off? Like, that's...
He's just a particular person. He does this all the time. He's very concise. It's a lot to deal with.
It's the worst when somebody in your family is like that.
Yeah.
Because then you're always embarrassed when they do it. And you like try to hide your face because you're embarrassed. You're embarrassed because they're that guy. They're that girl. They're that person that does that.
Yeah.
And the other thing is, too, is like, am I supposed to wait for you? Like, how many times am I supposed to do that, right? How many times am I supposed to wait to be polite? Because if you do this every time, I got news for you. After a while, I'm not waiting for you. Now, going to lunch with you takes an hour and a half every single time. We could be gone. Guess what? Can't have lunch with you during work. Can't do it. I've got to be back.
It's prom season. Do you have a problem, like a problem that you had at the prom? I was giggling about this because one of my good friends, her son is a senior in high school, and he asked 2 girls to the prom.
Oh, wait a minute.
He said the way he explained it, which I was just giggling because I'm like, this poor kid is like heartbroken, doesn't know what to do. And meanwhile, I'm like laughing about it. So he has like a neighbor that lives a couple houses down that he's been friends with for many, many years.
Yeah.
And they always said that they would go to the prom together when they were seniors, like if they had nobody else. But now there's this other girl that likes him. So she asked him, and he said yes because he likes her. But now he's got this other girl.
Oh, and his mom's she's like, the real friend.
And she's a real friend. And his mom said, like, my friend was like, you have to go with our neighbor. Like,
with
you have
friend.
To go with her.
Yeah,
yes.
Like, I mean, it's been your whole life you've been friends. On the other hand, it's like dream unrealized if the girl that you like and likes you kind of comes up at the minute. I mean, she may have taken 4 years to get up the courage to ask him.
High school.
This is tough.
I know, it's so tough. I don't know what he's going to do.
A lot of drama.
No clue. I just was giggling the whole time. He's like, what would you do? I'm like, I don't know. I have no idea.
So torn.
Yeah.
It's like a 90210.
Yeah, my problem. I was thinking, like, what was the biggest problem at my prom? My problem. And just because... It was the 90s, and it's when we all went fake tanning and the beds. And I remember that I went to this one place. It was like a basement tanning salon. Oh, it was awful. And they gave me the option that I didn't have to use the screen. I could just have the bulbs in my face.
Yeah.
I was so sunburnt, like that my face was red and peeling and blistering at the prom.
Oh, that's terrible.
Oh, God.
I thought it was just going to be orange rubbing off on your dress.
No. That's a fake tan. I should have gotten that. That's the way to go.
I went to a bunch of different dances myself. I went to prom, both of mine, and I went to some friends, too. I went with other people. But one year, I do remember that the limo driver got lost bringing us to prom. Didn't know where the venue was. Thought it was one place. Wasn't. Was this other place. We ended up showing up like an hour and 20 minutes later. We never got the car again. We were like, forget this. No limousine after this.
Yeah.
After that.
What was your problem? 1-800-330-9999. Hey, Calvin.
So I was a junior going to the senior prom, and my date, her ex-boyfriend, was very, very upset about the fact that he wasn't going to the senior prom with her. Right. So he still went. He had his girlfriend and stuff like that. But there was a part where we were dancing and it was a slow dance. And we happened to just be in the middle of the floor. Right. This guy comes up and does the most childish thing ever. Pants me at the prom.
He pants you?
He pantsed me at the prom. The entire school just started laughing. It was ridiculous. It felt like a movie, you know what I mean? It was just really, really embarrassing and just awful. You know, I didn't even go to my senior prom,
Calvin,
as a result.
When you were saying that he came to you in the middle of the dance floor, I was hoping that there was going to be some kind of dance battle. Like you would see in a movie where all of a sudden he would challenge you and then you guys are going at it like I don't know, like some kind of big dance scene. That is terrible.
I would have definitely preferred that, especially since I have like hip hop experience and stuff like that with smoking. No.
I was thinking it was going to be more like that thing where he asked to cut in. And why is it that we always feel obligated to say yes if somebody taps somebody on the shoulder and asks to cut in? What if you just turn around and said no?
No, I'm good.
No, we're dancing here. Like, find your own spot. Like, at a wedding, why do you have to be nice to your cousin or uncle or whoever who wants to cut in, you know?
Right.
I don't care about you cutting. Get out of here. Wait for the next song.
You got served.
Yeah.
Yeah, they served.
What are you doing? You showing up here for the last 30 seconds of this song? Get out of here.
What's your problem? The problem you had at your prom. My neighbor's son, he's a senior. He has two dates to the prom. A girl that he likes and then like his good friend that he had promised that he was going to go with forever. What is he going to do? I don't know. What was your problem? 1-800-330-9999. Evie.
My problem, this kid, he got way too drunk and he decided to get pretty crazy and went to the buffet because we had a nice buffet at our prom. Started like flipping things over. Thankfully, somebody stopped him before he got far. It was like chips to the guacamole and that's it. But it was pretty dramatic. He was very like, whoa. So,
wow.
Why would you ruin the buffet? Yeah, why? Right?
Chips and salsa at the prom, though. Not a great choice either. All right? I'm thinking like baked ziti. All right. Like I need some pasta dishes. There should be some sort of, you know, steak or chicken option is what I'm thinking.
I don't even remember what they served at the prom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But flipping over Sterno things isn't a good idea. That I know.
Correct.
Absolutely.
Does anybody even eat at the prom, though?
I don't remember eating much.
Yeah.
I don't.
Gina, what was your problem?
I was very much like goody two shoes when I was in high school. And I happened at the time, I wasn't dating anybody. I'd broken up with my boyfriend in 11th grade. And so I was honor society president and, you know, wanted to be there at the prom. So I ended up going with our class president. And like halfway through, I mean, we were having a nice time, nothing romantic about it at all. But halfway through, I kind of got wind that he and his buddies wanted to ditch the prom and like go party. And I just went home. I was like too freaked out. And that was the end of the prom for me.
I mean, you're the honor society president. Imagine how disappointed your parents would be if they found out and something happened. Right. Like you had no choice. You did what was right.
Yeah. I'm sure I did it in a very goody two shoes nerdy kind of like,
You know what? I gotta ask, right? When you hear somebody say, before I was very goody two shoes, to me, that means you're a wild person now. To me, I mean, when you say that, that to me says, like, you have done some crazy, crazy stuff since then. Or college was like, if there was cameras, you'd be in trouble.
Am I allowed to say no comment?
Okay. Yeah,
fair enough.
Perfect.
This
Perfect.
Is why I was never a National Honor Society.
You think that's the reason why?
That's why. Yeah. That and I couldn't pass the test.
I was saying.
Edwin, what was your problem?
Okay, so my mom had me when she was young, so she did not go to her prom. And when it was time for me to go to my prom, I decided that I didn't want to go. I was dating someone, but we both were kind of like, this is stupid. And my mom was infuriated. She goes, you need to go to your prom, because she wanted to live vicariously through us. Mm-hmm. So my mom went out of her way, and she bought like my tux. She paid for her dress. She paid for like corsage. She like got a limo. She made it like everything that she wanted our prom to be. And I was terrified that my mom was going to show up at our prom. So, I mean, like, thank God it was like just before cell phones were super popular, because I feel like she would have like tried to FaceTime her way into that.
Oh, your poor mom.
Yeah. You know, like, I mean, on the one hand, you definitely obviously should have the night that you envision. On the other hand, your mom did all these things because it was super important. How about you just suck it up and go and smile?
Yeah.
And dang it, you're both going to pose for as many photos as I want before you go. Jeez.
It's a popular medication for kids, but if it's prescribed to your child, can it actually do more harm than good? Let's go to the experts.
HealthWise with Dr. Wider, the Anna and Raven Show.
Jenna, there's a big push lately, and I know there's a new study that said a lot of ADHD drugs are being misused for teenagers. What's the deal with this?
Yeah, this is a bit of an issue that a lot of parents need to have on their radar screen. It's a new study that just came out in JAMA, which is the Journal of the American Medical Association. It's a well-respected journal. It looked at over 200,000 student responses, and it looks like more than one in four kids have used the drugs for ADHD, like Ritalin or Adderall. They're designed for kids with attention deficit hyperactivity disorder. But a lot of teenagers in high school and in junior high school are actually using these drugs to try to study or to increase their focus, or and some people say that they help them lose weight. So these drugs are being misused. And the problem is they're not prescribed for the people that are taking them, and they have real health consequences.
You said this for kids and for teenagers, but I think this is an adult problem too.
Right. I mean, I think it's been going on for decades. I feel like people have been abusing Adderall, at least, for a very long time.
Yeah, this is definitely true. And I think the problem is that, you know, there was always talk in this country, are we overprescribing ADHD drugs to begin with? A lot of people and a lot of children were diagnosed with ADHD. And there are a lot of parents and a lot of people in the medical community really felt like this became this wastebasket diagnosis. And it was overdiagnosed in the country and people were being overmedicated. The problem is that these drugs are getting out into the population. And if you take too many of this, because a lot of kids will take one, two, three, four drugs because they're not following the prescription, it will cause the heart rate to go up. It can cause high blood pressure. It can make you really jittery. People can stay up for 24 to 48 hours. And in some cases, there have been overdoses of this, and there have been some deaths among the teenage population. So it's not an issue that we want to take lightly, but it certainly has been an issue for a long time. And, you know, you're making a good point here. One of the problems that this study shows us is that when something is a prescribed medication like ADHD or another drug that may be prescribed or maybe a, quote, legal drug, it doesn't mean that you can take this drug if it's not prescribed for you. And that's the problem. You know, we're seeing this with legalization of marijuana. A lot of people are abusing marijuana now. People are driving under the influence of smoking. People are taking drugs that aren't prescribed for them. And they can have dire consequences in many cases.
So if a doctor prescribes this for your child and says, like, I think this would be a good drug, would you say to the parent, maybe you want to question the doctor? Or do you think that it does have a time and a place and that's why it is a legal drug?
Yes, I absolutely think it has a time and a place. I think there's definitely some evidence, at least in a lot of research studies, that show us that some kids are being overdiagnosed with this. But for many kids, you know, ages 3 to 17, Adderall and Ritalin has made a huge difference in their life. And as long as it's under the care of a doctor, I'd say it's totally the right thing. You just want to make sure you don't have a sibling in the house or a friend borrowing these medications, because then you get into trouble.
Everybody's always looking for that little extra boost, right? The superpower.
Totally.
The superpower
totally.
Is just study harder, I guess.
That's right. Keep all your right. head down. Keep it in the books. Yes.
Dr. Jennifer Wider. You can find her online at drwider.com. Thanks, Jenna.
Thanks, guys.
Why is it trending? Top news stories trending and why. Keanu Reeves is trending. He did a surprise signing at a comic book store in Los Angeles last week for his Berserk series.
Just the nicest human being on the planet, quite possibly.
Oh my gosh. So he had this interaction with a 9-year-old fan. And you know what? Just listen.
I'm such a big fan.
What's your name?
Noah. My name is Noah.
Hi, Noah. I'm Keanu.
You're probably my favorite actor in the whole world.
Oh, my gosh, Noah.
Best.
Thank you. Did you see Duke Kaboom in Toy Story 4?
Yeah, he's my favorite character.
Canada's greatest stuntman. Well, I'm glad you liked it.
Oh, my gosh. You just want to hug that man.
I just want to run into him. Yeah. Anywhere. He rides the subway like a normal human being. Like he walks around. He doesn't touch people in photos. And everybody asks him for a photo. He's just the nicest guy.
I know. Who do you think is the most loved celebrity in America? Because he's got to be up there at this point.
He's gaining steam.
Yeah. And then I understand why Matthew Perry took the stuff that he said about him out of his book. He called him a bad actor. Because it makes Matthew Perry look like a giant jerk.
Yeah.
Like, how do you say that?
Honestly,
he's the nicest guy ever.
Honestly, I mean, as successful as Matthew Perry has been, it says to me, like, you're actually nothing measuring up to Keanu Reeves and who he is as a person nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
I think Tom Hanks is probably the first name that comes to mind for me. He's just trustworthy. They trot him out there when, you know, when the president won't say something, Tom Hanks will, which is kind of a relief for people. I really like Melissa McCarthy, but I know she's polarizing for some people. But
Julia Roberts.
Yeah.
The fact that
a lot of people like her
in a movie called America's Sweethearts, I thought was ironic. But I was thinking, like, it's got to be Well, it was Betty White until she passed away.
Sure.
Did you ever meet a person that didn't love Betty White?
Yeah.
No, of course not.
Yeah.
But the same thing with Jennifer Aniston and Julia Roberts. Like, Jennifer Aniston never says a bad thing. Nobody ever has anything bad to say about her.
Yeah, if Chandler could learn a little bit from Jennifer Aniston, Aniston, that would probably be best for him, right? As his character and a real person.
Yeah. Also trending was Bed Bath & Beyond. So yesterday was the last day they would accept their coupons, even though I was under the impression that they lasted forever and they never expired.
Yeah, I thought they were going to go for another week or whatever, but people are definitely upset about this.
I threw away my coupons probably like 2 weeks ago when they announced that this was all going down, and they've officially filed for Chapter 11 this past weekend. And the amount of coupons I had was comical. I felt like I had been living my entire life to collect these coupons. And then as I was throwing them in the garbage, I was like, I spent years carrying these around with me, in my purse, in my car, everywhere. And now, for what? To throw them in the garbage?
Well, they wouldn't expire, right? That was
never.
One of the worst places. It was one of the first places, rather, where they would say, you know what? Your coupon is always good here.
Yes.
And I swear, my wife at one point probably had, I don't know, 5 pounds of them.
So many of them.
And one stack. And for whatever reason, they were always in one purse or another.
And they never made it easy for you because they were so big.
So big.
And you had to carry them. I don't know. Sad day. Do you want to know what they said, Raven?
What's that?
That those coupons may be the reason why they had to go out of business, was that people became so reliant on the coupons that they wouldn't shop there if they didn't have the coupons, and that was the reason why they were losing money.
Listen, there was times that we would go there, and I swear it felt like they were going to pay us before we left, and we would leave with arms full of stuff. You know, my wife loves those coupon games.
And they always took everything back. They were the store that always took every return. 6 years old, they returned at like a hand mixer. They were like, yep, full price. Here you go.
Bed Bath Meow. I'm pouring some out for you.
Yeah.
Couples Court on the Anna and Raven Show.
Every day a couple joins us. They let us know what their disagreement is about, and then you decide who's right. George and Callie. Callie, what's going on?
Hey, guys. So George and I have been married for about a month now, and I love my husband dearly. But I'm really upset about something that happened at our wedding, and he, like, totally disagrees with me. His dad and stepmom left after the first dance.
Why?
Well, they said they couldn't find anybody to, like, feed and walk their dogs that night, so that they had to go home and do it. And I'm just like, that's not really a valid excuse. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, the dog could have waited a little bit longer. I don't know. I think it was rude. And then everybody, you know, for the rest of the night was like, where's George's parents? I didn't get a chance to meet them. And I just was, you know, I didn't want to have that being embarrassed feeling. I just wanted to be able to enjoy my wedding. And I think he needs to address it with them. I mean, you know, we can't go back now and change it, but, you know, maybe they would apologize or something.
George, what's your side of this?
I just don't honestly see what the big deal is. I don't know why Callie's so upset, because, like, my parents were at the church. They did the religious aspect of it. Like, this now is just a party, right? And we can't keep people hostage. My parents have needs, like, and they got to go take care of the dog. And I don't know, because, like, we couldn't bring the dog to the reception, which that would be crazy. So they got to go feed their dogs. I think that's a fair, good, reasonable reason to leave.
Well, I mean, let me just ask for my own information. Like, is your father uptight? Like, meaning, are they the type that go out and socialize and do things or whatever? Because some people, especially with our parents, I know this. This is how my father and my stepmother were. They're homebodies. They just like to be home. And virtually in any social setting, they're pretty uncomfortable. I mean, the dog being an excuse, I get it. It's annoying. But are they those types, or are they just like, you know, typically they'd be out, but this time, for whatever reason, they couldn't let the dog alone?
Yeah, I mean, they are homebodies. I will give them that. They're not good in social situations. So I think also it would be unfair to, like, keep them there the whole time. So I was actually kind of relieved when they left, honestly. Yeah.
But Callie, so what is it that you want from George? You want him to say something to his dad about this?
I do. I just a little, you know, like, hey, Dad, it's one night. You know, I'm your only son. Like, you could have, for us, you could have stayed a little bit longer. Like, it just seemed kind of rude. I mean, his mom and stepdad were there the whole time and, like, dancing like crazy, having a ball. And, you know, like, this is the moment when we celebrate us with everybody, you know, our friends and all of our loved ones. And I just think they could have stepped outside of their comfort zone for us for one night. And,
you know, I just want him to address it and have them say they're sorry. I don't know.
All right. Well, we can see what our audience has to say, because they may agree with you, Callie. It was really rude, and it should be acknowledged that that happened, and it made you feel uncomfortable, George, on your wedding day. But they may see your side too, George. Well, why are you going to start problems? Like, what's done is done. You can't turn back time, obviously. So just let it go. Whatever excuse they gave, they gave. They didn't want to be there anymore, and you have to move on.
Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. It's the Couples Court with Anna and Raven.
George and Callie got married 1 month ago, and Callie cannot get over the fact that George's father and his stepmother left after the first dance. She is so upset, and the excuse they gave was that they had nobody to take the dogs out, so they had to get home to the dogs. She thinks this is so rude and so obnoxious that George needs to have a conversation with his father about it.
I mean, I get it. It's hurtful, right? You think that this is our big day and it's part of us all becoming, you know, family together. Like, you think that they would be there throughout the time to celebrate. You know, she pointed out the fact that, well, his mother was there, stayed the whole time, had a great time with her new husband. There was no problem there. They danced the night away. On the other hand, what really is gained? If you're asking your in-laws to come to you hat in hand and apologize for something that's already over, how's that going to go over?
In the long run, what happens?
Yeah.
Do you acknowledge it or do you just sweep it under the rug? 1-800-330-9999. Josh, whose side are you on?
I'm on Kelly's side. I think she's actually being a little too nice. I think she should have been more aggressive, saying that George's family should have stayed. If they knew that there was a wedding, they could have had someone watch the dog. I mean, it's just, you know, it's a celebration. I think they could have sucked it up and for their only son and stayed for the wedding.
Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. Couples Court. George and Kelly had their wedding 1 month ago, and it was a joyous day. Except for one problem that is lingering that is driving Kelly crazy. George's father and his stepmother left after the first dance. And when they asked why they were leaving, they said they had nobody to go walk the dog and take the dogs out. And she is upset about it. She's very upset. How do you leave after the first dance on your wedding?
I get it. It's something that will stick in your mind, and it caused some questions for her at the wedding. On the other hand, come on. I mean, you've got a big wedding full of people. I'm sure it wasn't the whole focus of the party after that. It's a celebration, after all. Everybody else had fun. She just can't understand why they had to go. Now, she wants an apology. She wants George to go to his parents and say, this was wrong and we should address it before we move forward. George, on the other hand, says, my parents are just like that. It was just a little bit weird. I was frankly a little bit relieved when they took off.
What do you think? Should he say something to his parents about it or just let it go? 1-800-330-9999. Hi, it's Couples Court. Whose side are you on?
Oh, I'm on her side. It may be done and over. I think not. Oh, but this is going to come up again. This is going to come up again. I've been married for 17 years, and resentment like that just festers.
And Ann Raven, whose side are you on?
I'm on the side of George. I think she just needs to let it go. It was one time. She has a lifetime of building memories together. She needs to let it go.
It's true, right? If you dig in on this, it could affect things in the future.
Sometimes you just have to accept that that's what happened. You can't change it and move on. You know, what are you going to do?
Hi, Lori. Whose side are you on today?
Well, I'm surprised to say, but after I heard the whole story, I'm definitely on his side. The reason is because I'm also a child of divorce. And what I think is that the father was uncomfortable, perhaps because he knew his wife was uncomfortable with his ex-wife. That's what I think. That is what I know to be the case.
So it has nothing to do with the dog. They're just using that as an excuse.
Right.
And they may not even be in touch with their feelings. They're probably very good people. I just know in my family, my late mother never got used to the fact that my dad remarried, and they just never all got together. Whereas my stepmother's ex-husband was always fine with my dad. They even danced together at my stepsister's wedding.
Right. Yeah. Sometimes, so, I mean, everybody's different.
I think
different,
it's tension.
Right?
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
George, our audience agreed with you today. It's done, Callie. And whether or not it made you feel uncomfortable and you're sad about it and there's hostility about it, there's nothing else you can do at this point, and you're going to have to let it go.
All right. I mean, it was, you know, my special day. It's a day a girl dreams of. But, you know, I guess if I just have to live with it, I'll live with it.
George, you going to be all right? You cool with this?
Yeah. I mean, my parents are hard to talk to. I love them, but I don't know how to talk. So any excuse to not talk to them is a great day.
Some relationships are like that. I guess I get that. You know, on the other hand, again, you can't change a leopard's spots, right? You know, you're not going to change somebody's behavior when they're older on in life. I mean, those are the things that they're comfortable with. I get why it bothered you, Kelly. I do. I get that it, you know, put a bad taste in your mouth. On the other hand, what's the advantage of kicking off your relationship now that you're a married couple with his parents as one of, you know, contention or disappointment? I think you just got to make peace with it and move forward.
Yeah.
Well, I don't want it to, like, be a wedge between George and I, for sure. But, you know, maybe we need to just talk about, like, any future celebrations we might have and what to expect. I just was a little disappointed.
I think you remember going forward, Kelly, I'm one of those people that's like, you forgive, but you never forget. So you just, you forgive them and you forward, but you're never going to forget that. And you just keep it in the back of your mind. If you have a problem too, send an email. couplescore@annaandraven.com.
Can't beat Raven.
The Can't Be Raven cash jackpot is $2,300. All right, Mike, we have you and your son Quentin, right?
Yes, Michael, yes.
All right, are you ready to play?
Yes.
Michael, can you please ask Raven to leave the room?
Raven, please leave the room.
Sure, you got it. Good luck.
You guys sound very serious, and I like it. Got a lot of money on the line here. All right, Raven is walking out. He's not going to be able to hear us now. We're in a soundproof studio, and the door has closed. I'm going to ask you 5 pop culture questions. You have 3 seconds to answer each one. I'll bring them back in. Ask them the same questions. Whoever gets the most right wins. Ties go to Raven. You ready?
Yep.
Yeah. All right, let's do this, guys. Number one, Hugh Grant will play an Oompa Loompa in Timothy Chalamet's upcoming Willy Wonka remake. What color is the ticket that earns you a tour at Willy Wonka's Chocolate Factory?
Golden.
Number two. Katy Perry will be performing next Sunday at the King's Coronation. She is currently a judge on what reality singing competition?
American Idol.
Number three, Disney released official photos from their upcoming live-action Little Mermaid movie. The internet was not happy with how Flounder and Sebastian looked. What kind of sea animal is Sebastian?
A crab.
And number four, Family Feud has been renewed through the 2025-2026 seasons. Who hosts it?
Steve Harvey.
At number five, Kim Kardashian officiated the wedding of actor Lucas Gage and Chris Appleton in Vegas. Chris Appleton does what? Get this one.
Sing.
Okay. Let me bring Raven back in. Gosh, I think it's going to come down to that last one.
Yo.
All right. So Michael and Quentin got 4 out of 5.
Wow. Okay. Pretty good. $2,300. Let's see how I do.
That was some good father-son teamwork right there.
All right.
Number one, Hugh Grant will play an Oompa Loompa in Timothy Chalamet's upcoming Willy Wonka remake. What color is the ticket that earns you a tour at Willy Wonka's Chocolate Factory?
It's golden.
That's right. Number two, Katy Perry will be performing next Sunday at the King's Coronation. Weird, by the way. Like, just because everybody else said no, she was like, yeah, I'll do it. Why not? She's currently a judge on what reality singing competition?
She's on American Idol.
That is right. Number three, Disney released official photos from their upcoming live-action Little Mermaid movie. The internet was not happy with how Flounder and Sebastian looked. What kind of sea animal is Sebastian?
He's a crab, right?
Yes, that's right. If you look at the picture of Flounder, somebody tweeted, and I can't stop giggling, it looks like he took too much Ozempic. It's like he just shrunk. He's just real skinny looking and a little bit sad looking, too.
Oh, sad fish.
Number four, Family Feud has been renewed through the 2025-2026 seasons. Who hosts it?
Steve Harvey. We watch it every night. It's my dog's favorite show.
Yeah, you guys are tied at 4. I read this earlier today, and I immediately sent an email to Family Feud. Because remember, we were supposed to be on during the beginning of the pandemic.
Yeah.
And then when everything shut down, we lost our place to be on Family Feud, my family.
It was a big deal to you. I know you spent a lot of time trying to make that happen.
Yeah, I sent an email. I'm like, hey, remember us?
Yeah, don't forget about us.
Yeah, do we still get a chance now? All right, we'll see what happens. Number five, Kim Kardashian officiated the wedding of actor Lucas Gage and Chris Appleton in Vegas. Chris Appleton does what?
He's a hairstylist.
Yes, he does hair, including Kim's hair. I'm sorry, guys. He beat you 5-4 today. That's going to get you an Ann on Raven t-shirt.
All right. This is Michael and
Quinn.
And we can't beat Raven today.
All right. Well, good job, guys. Hold on the line. We'll get all your info.
Better luck next time. You're going to have to split that shirt, guys. $2,400 tomorrow, Anna.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio.
Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring. Right.